Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. Today, as we look together at God's Word, we'll be focusing our attention on Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 21. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word. Then I'll read the passage, and it'll be over to Beck with the children's talk. So, if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then it'll be back to me for the sermon. And so let's pray. Our Father and our God, your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. As we read your word today, may it do its work in us. May it expose our sin and reveal our great need for Jesus. May your Spirit be at work in us, granting us faith and repentance, and the power to obey you, knowing that your ways are the best ways. In Jesus' name, Amen. So now let's read Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And now it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hello, everybody. My name is Beck, and I'm one of the members of Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I'm here again with my kids, Kai, Ellie, and Hannah. Say hi, kids.
Hi.
Now, I wanted to show you a picture today. Can you explain to everyone who can't see what is in this picture?
A man. There's an old woman.
No, there's not an old woman.
I said a man.
There is a man.
And a stick thing? A fishing rod, maybe?
Really? You don't know what this is a picture of? What's he doing down here?
Power lines?
Looks a bit like a power line, doesn't he? Yeah. This is called a tightrope walker.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tightrope walker. He has tied a really, really tight rope from one building over to another building over here. And now he's balancing using this stick. He's walking across this really, really narrow rope to get to the other building. He's way up high in the sky. Okay, it's very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you think he just strolls across the rope in the same way he just strolls along the beach?
No.
Do you think he's really relaxed?
No.
No.
Do you think he's telling jokes and being silly while he's up there?
No.
No.
No, he's not, is he? To be a tightrope walker and to make it safely across to the other side of the rope, he needs to walk very, very, very carefully. He needs to make sure that each step is in exactly the right spot. There's no time for silliness or relaxation. He needs to concentrate very, very hard the whole time. One foot in the wrong spot and he's going to fall to the ground, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible talks a little bit about walking carefully too. The Bible passage we read today talks about three different ways that we should be walking if we say that we trust in Jesus. It says that we need to walk in love, walk in wisdom, and walk in light. Jesus. What does it mean to walk in light?
In Jesus.
Does it mean that we always need to carry a torch with us just in case it gets dark suddenly?
Yeah.
No.
No, it doesn't, does it? What does it mean to walk in wisdom? Does it mean that we need to name our shoes Wiz and Dumb?
No.
So that we're walking in them always?
No.
No.
No? What does it mean to walk in love? Does it mean that we need to walk around in a box called love?
No.
No. No. It means be kind to people.
That's part of it, for sure. Like, absolutely.
Walk and say, hey, do you want anything?
Walking in love, wisdom and light mean that we need to be doing godly things all the time. Yeah, that's right, Kai, the fruit of the Spirit. Wherever we walk, wherever we go, whatever we do, we need to have godly behavior when we do it. We need to make sure we're loving God and we're loving people all the time. We need to make sure we're being wise and living God's way all day long. We need to make sure we're doing it in light, doing good things and avoiding dark, evil things that God doesn't love. Why? Why is it so important for us to do these things?
To trust in Jesus.
It shows that we trust in Jesus, doesn't it, Hannah? You're right.
Yeah.
Do we do these things so that God will let us into his kingdom?
No.
No.
Will he let us be friends with him in paradise because we're doing these good things all the time?
No.
No.
No. We need to be living godly lives and walking in love and wisdom and light all the time to show that we have already been welcomed into God's kingdom. It's a way of showing the people around us that we trust in Jesus and that he's our king. It's a way of making sure we keep trusting in Jesus all the days of our lives and not to be drawn into the evil, dark ways around us. It's easy. Is it easy for the tightrope walker to get across his rope to the other side?
No.
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 He needs to practice and practice and practice and learn and be so careful each time he tries. He needs to concentrate and work hard to succeed. And so do we. If we are to walk in the light and love and wisdom, we need to practice and try hard and be careful. We need to remember that God loves us and has already welcomed us into his kingdom. He has already forgiven us for the times that we'll mess up. But if we are truly God's children, we will continue to work and try hard to walk in light and love and wisdom. Our family has had a sad week this week, haven't we?
Yeah.
Something sad has happened for us, and it's hard for us to keep walking in love and light and wisdom in sad days. But we need to keep walking. We need to keep trusting in Jesus and the love that he has shown to us on the cross. We need to keep living his way, even when it's hard, because Jesus found it really hard too when he died on the cross to save us. But he did it anyway. He saved us, and now we get to walk in light and love and wisdom to say thanks to Jesus for doing that really hard thing and dying on the cross for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for saving us from our sin by sending Jesus to die for us. Thanks that you have forgiven us and have welcomed us into your family. Please help us to walk in wisdom and love and light, to show that we love you and that we are your children. Amen.
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 I wonder how many times you've been to the beach in your life. When I went to the beach as a kid, I'd either be swimming or playing some sort of game, beach cricket or beach soccer. I didn't spend much time exploring, going for walks along the beach. Now, since being married and having kids, that needed to change. Now, when I go to the beach, it'll usually involve a walk up and down the beach, exploring what it looks like just past the bend. And while Beck and I are walking, the kids are running around, going here, going there, running up ahead, dawdling behind. But inevitably, someone will make a game of trying to walk in our footprints. Sometimes they'll be easy to walk in. We've been walking slowly, our footprints are close together. But there are times where it's harder. We've moved quicker, our footsteps are spaced out more, so they have to jump from one step to the other. We watched The Lion King again recently with our kids. There's a scene where Simba has gotten into danger, and his father, King Mufasa, had to rescue him. After, Mufasa wanted to speak with him. And as Simba approaches his father, he puts his paw into the paw print his father had already made. How small his was in comparison. Simba wants to be just like his dad, but those are big paws to fill. Parents will often find their children imitating them. That's natural. Of course, there are some instances where relationships are strained and children will be desperately trying not to imitate their parents. But that tends to be the exception. Generally, children imitate their parents, the way they speak, the attitudes they have, their interests. As God's children, Christians should be seeking to imitate him too. And Paul tells us what that'll look like in these verses. Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 21. Paul makes the appeal right up front. His main point is obvious. He says, imitate the God who's saved you. And then he tells us how to do that, what it looks like. He says in verses 1 and 2, walk in love. In verses 3 to 14, walk as children of light. And in verses 15 to 21, walk in wisdom. Walk in love, as children of light, and in wisdom. This is what it means to imitate the God who saved you. And so let's turn to verses 1 and 2, where Paul tells us to walk in love. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This passage begins with a command, be imitators of God. Obviously, he doesn't mean that we can be exactly like God in every way. This isn't a command to do miracles or to somehow make ourselves all-knowing like he is. This isn't a call for us to try to become little gods ourselves, like the Mormons think they'll become if they do all the right things. No, Paul's about to explain what imitating God means in the rest of the passage. And it's all about our character. He wants us to honour God with the way we live. And Paul gives us the reason why we should. See what he calls us in verse 1? Beloved children. That's who we are. That's what God has made us, if we're Christians. What did it take for God to make us his children? We were told that earlier in the letter, and now we're reminded again. The command to imitate God as his children is surrounded by the reminder of how we became his children. Chapter 4, verse 32, God in Christ forgave us. Chapter 5, verse 2, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Once, Paul says in chapter 2, we were sons of disobedience, children of wrath. Once we were destined for destruction and judgment because of our sin. But God made us, once his enemies and dead in sin, now he's made us to be his children. And so, as God's children, we walk in his footprints. We imitate him because he saved us. When we look in the mirror, we should be seeing ourselves looking more and more like God. Have you ever met people and instantly known that they're related to someone else that you know? They just look so similar that they sound so similar. That's what people should be thinking about us, that we behave and sound so much like God. And to start, Paul says, we should walk in love. That's the first step to imitating God, because it's his love which was the motivation for making us his children. And what does that love look like? Like Jesus, sacrificing himself for us. No one has ever given up more than Jesus. Eternal comfort, glory, peace. And he gave it all up for us, his enemies, people dead in sins, running away from him. How can you walk in love this week? How could you show love to your family? How can you be self-sacrificial? If you can, are you offering help to neighbours? Are you calling people in the church to encourage them? Here's an idea. When someone at the shops asks you how you're going, why not say, you're glad Jesus is in control? That's a bit surprising. And a way to love others by taking that brief opportunity to point people to Jesus. Imitate the God who saved you. Walk in love. And walk as children of light, verses 3 to 14. Look at verse 8. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Once we were darkness. We didn't know God. We were full of evil, rebelling against him. But now we're light, knowing God and imitating him as his saved children. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What does it mean to be light in this world of darkness? Paul says in verse 3, we're to be sexually pure. No sexual immorality or impurity, not coveting other people sexually, like the 10th commandment says. We're not even supposed to talk crudely or joke about sex. Why? Because sex is beautiful, a gift from God for a husband and wife to enjoy and serve one another. To joke about it is to demean it. To watch pornography belittles not only the person you're watching, but even the gift of sex itself. Understand, Paul's not writing to Christians in a prudish culture. The temple of Artemis was in Ephesus. She was a fertility goddess, and people would engage in orgies to worship her. It was a sex-obsessed culture too. But Paul says this isn't even supposed to be named among us. Let me ask you, are you numb to it all? Will you actually avoid TV shows, movies, books because of the sexual content? Will you avoid it even if there's nothing explicit visually, but when the references to sex are just crude and demeaning? Are you walking as a child of light, or are you following the path of the world, of darkness? I can't imagine how many TV shows I've watched since I was a teenager that have treated sex lightly, as the punchline of a joke. I've been convicted while thinking about this passage, and the respect Paul wants us to have towards sex. Instead of treating sex lightly, we should be thankful for it, verse 4. Just imagine a newlywed couple, their first night together, taking the time to thank God for sex. This is serious. Verse 6 says, God's wrath is coming, and so, verse 7, we shouldn't partner with people who sin in this way. We shouldn't watch or read anything that demeans this good gift from God. And let me say the obvious. If you're having sex with someone you're not married to, you need to repent. Judgment is coming. If you think that you can do this and still be safe from the judgment to come, don't be so sure. If you're not walking as a child of the light, it's questionable that you are one. Repent and find safety from the judgment. Walk as children of light, imitating the God who saved you, the God who made sex as a precious gift to be cherished. And the light you shine will expose the sin of others. Have people ever apologized for swearing around you because you're a Christian? If we're as holy in our sexuality as we supposedly are with our language, maybe the world would take more notice of us. Maybe as the light shines and exposes their sin, they too will become light. Imitate the God who saved you. Walk in love as children of light and, verses 15 to 21, walk in wisdom. How? Verse 16, by making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Time is flying by, heading towards the final curtain when Christ will return to judge the living and the dead. God is wise, and to imitate him, we need to be wise. Are you being wise? What are you doing with your time at home? Drowning yourself in entertainment? Watching TV when you're not absorbed by a game on your phone? Make the most of this time. It's time God has given you, whether you like it or not. And so use it. Be wise. Look at the free studies offered by Ligonier as a starting point. Read a book that'll help you understand the Bible better. I've got some at my house to give away. Just ask. And you can't go past reading through Proverbs and acting out what it tells you. Walk in wisdom. Jonathan Edwards was an 18th century American preacher. As a very young man, he wrote a series of resolutions for his life. Listen to this one. Resolved, never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. And this one, resolved, to strive to my utmost every week to be brought higher in religion and to a higher exercise of grace than I was the week before. When this time has passed, will people take a double take at you? Because you've grown in wisdom? Because you've grown in grace, knowledge, prayerfulness, maturity, godliness? Or will you be the same? Are you making the most of the time? Part of being wise, of course, is striving to know God's will, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And how do we understand that will? By being filled with the Spirit, verse 18. The Spirit gives wisdom and leads us in godliness. Now, the person who's filled with the Spirit doesn't bark like a dog or begin laughing uncontrollably. Believe it or not, some Christians think that those are signs of the Spirit working. When I was young, I was at a church where people would laugh uncontrollably, supposedly because the Spirit was doing something in them. No, remember, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The Spirit-filled person will sing songs of encouragement to fellow believers as we gather and sing praise to God. We'll thank God and submit to one another, something we'll be focusing on next week. Paul commands us, imitate the God who saved you. Walk in his footsteps. Walk in love as children of light, in wisdom, filled by his Spirit. If you're not a Christian, I hope you've noticed what this passage says. It says you are in darkness, like I once was, like all Christians were before they believed. God's wrath, his judgment, is coming on all those who disobey and refuse to come to him. Escape his judgment. Jesus gave himself up for sinners. He died to bring forgiveness and peace with God. Come to him now. Paul quotes probably an ancient hymn in verse 14, and I want to say the same words to you. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Don't remain in darkness. Become light, because Christ has shone on you. Believe and be saved. If you're a Christian, I want to close by emphasizing the why of this passage. Why should I imitate God? Well, it's because he saved me, and he saved you. Christians always need to remember the indicative always comes before the imperative. Now, that might only make sense to you if you were taught and remember grammar. Let me explain. An indicative is a statement of fact, like the ball is red or the dog is small. An imperative is a command. Do this, don't do that. In Christianity, the indicative always comes before the imperative. The gospel of our salvation is the indicative, the statement of what God has done for us, Jesus dying to save us. That's the indicative. God's saved us. And so now we have the imperative. Imitate God. Never read the imperative, the command, without first thinking about the indicative, the gospel. We obey not to be saved, but because we are saved. Indicative before imperative, the gospel of our salvation before command. Why do we imitate God, walking in love, as children of light and in wisdom? Because of the gospel. Because he's saved us. As we walk along the beach, let's walk in our Father's footprints. Let's imitate the God who saved us. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, so often we fail to walk in your ways. We are so often so ready to live for ourselves rather than in submission to the Word of God. The world whispers its temptations and treasures to us, and we so readily listen because it promises ease and pleasure, but we forget that the way of wickedness is the way towards death and judgment. Give us wisdom to walk in your ways as children of light, loving one another and the lost. May we imitate you, the glorious God, the living and true God who rules and reigns over all things. And may we do this, remembering that we're not motivated by the desire to earn our way to you, but instead because you've already made us your children. May the gospel be our great motivation. And may that gospel even now be saving those who are against you. Grant faith and repentance, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. If you'd like to get in contact with us, whether you have a question, you'd like to explore Christianity further, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.